B-Pod Studios.
Gargano and Mertitus Middays. The Fanatic.
Order pass around the chest.
You know, you take a shot in the ribs, like, you know, last year he hurt the back, so that could certainly be something. And then when he takes the shot on the ribs, you could certainly see he was definitely, he definitely got hit. All right. He was definitely, you know, and I do think you saw like the remnants of it. I mean, the interception where he was going to Ertz and he just didn't have anything on the ball, the one that got picked off on the ground.
Yeah, the seated position.
You know, obviously there was some kind of remnants of it. But maybe, I mean, maybe he is hurt.
I think the receiver ran the wrong route there, too.
Well, maybe.
I think he was supposed to break that off to the
Doug said in the press conference that he was that it wasn't, but whatever.
Yeah.
He said he just didn't get enough on the throw.
Guys, yeah.
But whatever. I mean, who knows? My only thing is, you know, to Nick's point, maybe he's right. Maybe that is, you know, his thick, because if you're hurt in the midsection or you're hurting your back, you know, that's a possibility that you certainly will want to fool with, you know, your pads and, you know, where you know how they're feeling.
Yeah. Yeah. If you get hurt in that area, you're going to resituate things to take pressure off of certain areas where it's hurting. And he took a good blow. So maybe it was sore. And eventually he settled in and the injury kind of subsides. But initially it's like any injury. Immediately, you're like, you got to walk it off.
Yeah.
It's just, you got to get the blood moving again. 610-632-0975. You're listening to 97.5, the Fanatic WPEM Burlington, Philadelphia. We're a Beasley Media Group station, and we broadcast from the Xfinity Studios only from Comcast.
97.5, the Fanatic. Big Green giveaway.
Presented by the new Parks Casino Sportsbook app. Download in the App Store or click on parkscasino.com/PA and use promo code Green. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
All right, we ready for a keyword? How about this one? One. O-N-E. The keyword's one. So text that on the Fanatic app, 975thefanatic.com, or text it again to 45911 by 1115, and we'll call you if you're randomly selected. You'll win $1,000. Everyone that enters, Anthony, on the app or website will also be qualified for this $10,000 grand prize. And rules for this contest are available at 975thefanatic.com. Again, the keyword is one, O-N-E. Enter that on the Fanatic app or 975thefanatic.com, or text it to 45911 by 1115. And that's the keyword one.
I like it. By the way, our Fanatic 5K a day Big Green giveaway presented by the all new Parks Casino Sportsbook app.
Here we go. Let's get back to the telephones, Ant. We're going to hear from Jeff McClain coming at what, bottom of the hour?
Yeah. You know, it's funny because as we're kind of figuring this thing out with, you know, the McCann, I'm like, I mean, he was two checkoffs and he hit Ertz, right? So he had a check down to Sanders for four. I actually think that one was design. And then there was a check down for seven underneath. And then the third pass he completed was a Ertz middle of the field thing. Now, again, I'm not trying to discount McNown, but like I've heard a lot of like, you know, she should have stayed with him during the drive. And really?
No.
Because, again,
I think that's ridiculous.
The throw he makes to Aguilar, he should have caught it.
Mm-hmm.
That's a touchdown.
Look, here's the deal. Carson Wentz is your starting quarterback. He got pulled into protocol as they were getting ready to head back out onto the field offensively. They were mad because he wasn't pulled into protocol while the defense was on the field. It was a delayed call to the tent. So he has to miss a few snaps. Soon as Wentz is available, he plays. He's your starter. It's not like this guy just threw three completions. Let's keep him in. No. Carson Wentz is your starter.
Yeah, and you know, I've heard people say he was selfish and the way he was acting on the sidelines.
These haters. I drive me nuts.
I don't know. I mean, like, you know, I know how I would be. Let's go. I got to get back in the game. He's not processing, oh, my God. There's Josh McCown. He just completed three passes. Oh my God! It's Nick Foles all over again. He just wants to go play. If you're an athlete, the stuff that goes through your mind is simple because it's all born from instincts. Carson Wentz's instincts are, I got to get back in the game.
Yep.
That's it. He's not thinking deep. Like, we could sit here and we have the luxury of being there as a, as an onlooker and as a sit and think. And you go, huh. And so we invent things like, is he looking at Josh McCown like he's Nick Foles' second coming? Well, no, he's not. He's looking at the situation like, I got to get back in the game.
Yeah.
All right? We even got to get back in the game. I got to get back in the game. There's nothing in his... He's not looking at the situation and dissecting it that deeply. If you've played an ounce of sports, you should know that.
Yeah, he's not giving McCown the furry eyeball. Like, yo, dude.
You're watching the game. You're trying to get back in the game. Holes. Like, let's go.
What do you think he was doing in that tent? He was probably reading those guys the right eye. Come on, let's go. I'm fine. Let's go. Yeah. I got it. Now, we're on the field. I got to get back out there. Hurry up.
Now, here's the deal. The fact is, it's a necessary thing.
Yep, we got it. Yep.
And it's for his own good.
Yeah. So, it's to protect him from themselves.
Right. So, you know, by no means do I blame the protocol, because I think it's a good protocol.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it maybe should have been expedited more.
Yep.
But all that said, you know, that's there for a reason.
Yep. Jeff in Philly's on the Fanatic, and Jeff's here for a reason. What's up, Jeff?
Guys, what's going on, man?
Yo, Jeff.
Hey, and I appreciate you bringing up some of the hurdles they face with Jalen Ramsey. My concern is, you look at what Clowney and his situation was, being franchised and basically calling his shot with the Texans not having any leverage, and you look at what Fitzpatrick went for. The capital, if it's just the first to get Jalen, you know, makes sense. But when I look at the overall, you know, situation with the team, I would love to bring a guy like Jalen in, but I'm also concerned that while he comes in, there's still, you're mortgaging a little bit of your future. I think it's going to cost more than a first, but also I think Howie makes a move first and foremost to help the D-line. If you're not getting pressure on the quarterback and you're not getting to the quarterback, I don't care who you have back there. They're going to find ways to beat you. And that's my concern. I don't want to throw any shade on it, but I just can't see Jacksonville taking a late first and nothing else for Jalen Ramsey.
Yeah, it's going to cost you more than one, without a doubt. I mean, no joke, it's going to cost you more than one. The biggest concern you have in the whole acquisition, there's two of them, right? One, what's the price tag, right? His contract's up after next year. He's going to want... He brought a Brinks truck, dropped him off, right? So what do you think this guy wants? So he's going to want a small fortune. And he's a dude that is a boisterous guy. And, you know, I mean, we've seen the diva, you know, D-back. You know, I don't know. I mean, there's a fine line between diva D-back and diva D-bag, right? Like, there's a fine line between that.
Now, on the positive for this is, you know, Darby's only on a one-year deal. So if he stays healthy, someone's going to eventually overpay for him. I don't see him back here next year. So there is, you know, if you're going to pay at that position, it does make sense to go out and get him. I just, you know, my concern is I don't like giving up, as you mentioned earlier, what you pay for a first-round pick and also the use with a roster that's somewhat aging, just to give that up for one guy.
Yeah.
Well, it's not just a guy, though.
I mean,
but it's going to cost you more than a one. I think that's what's getting missed in this.
Okay, but consider this part of it. He is a known commodity early in his career. If you were to draft a guy with a first round pick and he became him, you'd be thrilled. Why not just go skip all that and get right to where the guy, you know, the guy is great, and give up more than the one? You'd give up a one and a two and a five if you knew you were getting a great player.
Yeah, the compensation doesn't bother me as much as you have to look and see, you know, how does he upset the apple cart in that he's going to want a fortune, right? Yeah. You know, I mean, he's a cornerback of incredible ilk, but he knows it, and he was going to want to get paid.
Yeah.
And he seems kind of moody, too, sometimes. Like, listen.
Well, he's been in Jacksonville.
Listen,
would you be moody? I'm not telling you
that this would dissuade me in any way.
Mm-hmm.
I'm in, all right? I'll preface everything by saying, I'm in. I got Malcolm Jenkins, so if he's a little out of line at times, Malcolm, take care of that.
Yeah.
You know, that sort of thing. I don't know. I don't know the kid. Like, I don't know the, I don't know, you know, what makes him tick. I don't know, you know, what his deal is. All I know is he's an immense talent. And if I can get an immensely talented cornerback, you know, I'll try to make it work. I'll try to make it work financially.
Yeah. And the thing is, and it's one of the reasons why draft picks, when you trade them, they have value, is because the salary of that draft pick is low.
Yes.
It's controllable. And you got, and you have to have guys on your roster that are contributing that aren't making much money.
Yeah.
But there's areas on the team where I invest big money, and cornerback is one of them because of its importance.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, look, the Eagles agree with you, too. Howie was here when they went after Asante Samuel.
Yeah, great point. He was also here. They went after other guys. They recognized the importance of that
position.
They
went after Nnamdi. They were just wrong with
it. It was misguided
because
he was out in, with the Raiders, and nobody just ever even threw at him because the other side was so bad.
Right. Plus, he also played a different way, remember?
Yeah, big time.
Yeah.
And then he's having lunch in the car.
All right. 11:10.
Yeah, but is this going to happen on
Sunday?
We need
Sunday? 10 back, man.
I got ginger with no jack.
I got to tell you, I missed DeSean Jackson all night Sunday night.
Totally agree. I'm going, man, come on, get on the field.
Almost as much as Carson did.
I want to see the Jets. You know?
I miss having him on the field.
Jetpack Jackson.
He's such a weapon, man. He's just such a weapon.
You know how there's certain players when you watch, like when they're in the game, it heightens everything. Like, I remember when Randall went out and McMahon was a quarterback, and Randall was coming back down, I'm like, I can't wait to watch Randall again because it's just more exciting.
Yeah.
It was not really an indictment against McMahon. It was just that Randall was spectacular.
Definitely. Yeah, you were on the edge of your seat for Mac Hollins.
No.
Or J.J. Arcega-Whiteside.
No. I didn't feel like there was an explosion that could happen at any time. With DeSean, that's the thing. Like, you better not, like, go, hey, I'm going to go refill the dip.
I just miss watching him on the field, man. He was just electric.
A spectacular player. Yeah. 610-632-0975. Jeff McClain at the bottom of the hour. Midday show right here, 97.5 The Fact.
Gargano and Mertidis Middays.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
97.5 The Fanatic.
11 o'clock hour brought to you by Golden Nugget Jewelers, where Philly gets engaged. Good morning, Herbie.
Hello.
11:21, known the Midday Show. Jason Martinez, Anthony Gargano with you. Real quick, and I want to get back to all the calls. But Jason was down for the start of the hockey season last night.
Oh, that's right.
Oh my God.
How was it?
It was preseason. I hate preseason. Like, right, 6 minutes in, I'm like, oh, scoreboard's great. Can we start the regular season?
Right. But it was.
And I don't want to wish time away. So
I actually caught the first period.
Oh, yeah, you're watching?
I caught the first. No, between periods.
Oh, okay.
Why was I? Where the hell was I? Because I heard you go. You interview Konechny?
No, first period was Joel Farabee. Konechny just got in last night.
Right, right. Because Konechny signed the deal.
Yeah.
Right, you signed. I came in and you were wrapping up the interview.
Yeah.
And then you went through the Flyers schedule, the pregame, the whole preseason schedule.
Yeah. It's
and
exciting
I was like,
stuff.
Wow, look at my man.
Yeah. Exciting preseason schedule.
You know what's scary? Why, I don't even know why I was in the car. What I was doing in the car there, but I had you on.
Yeah, well, I appreciate that.
Because you do a great job on the broadcast.
Yeah, it was. Looked at some of the regulars playing last night. Saw that line with Kevin Hayes, Van Riemsdyk, and Voracek. I like the look of that line.
Yes,
a lot of big bodies too. Can move the puck. So yeah, it was. Carter Hart will get to start tonight, Ant.
Yeah,
in Uniondale. But it was good. It was just good to be back in a way, you know, see some of the guys. And
one thing, and then we're going to move on. But I got to ask you. I mean, I want desperately to be excited.
Well, you're not going to be excited until you get one thing. That's wins. Wins are exciting.
Right, but do I have a chance for it?
Yeah, I think the coach is... He could be a big difference.
Really?
Now they got more talent, too. That helps, and you don't go through eight goalies, and you got the goalie in the future in Carter Hart, and I think you have a great situation with Brian Elliott as the backup if he's not overused, which I don't believe that he will be, so... wins. Wins, wins, wins.
But style of play will be fun.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And,
he goes up and down the ice.
No, he does, but you know, they're going to be able to...
Yeah, this isn't boring devil hockey, trap.
No,
the left wing lock.
Is Konechny worth that deal?
Yeah, back end of that deal. It looks a little heavy on the front for you, but it's the back 3 years of that deal.
All right.
Where you really go, well, man, this is a team-friendly deal.
Okay.
He's a guy, 24 goals last 2 years, does it all 5-on-5. He gets into that 30 range, and it's a sweet bargain. He should get to 30 this year, frankly.
All right.
So, 610-632-0975. There's your hockey minute. Let's go to Cape May. On the way to Cape May with Michael on the Fanatic. What's up, Mike?
Hey, guys. On the way back from Cape May, I hope you have a window somewhere in the studio so you can see this beautiful day outside.
I know, dude. I was out this morning, and it was so cool out. And the next couple days are going to be really... Dude, I saw 40s in Westchester in the morning over the next couple of days. I'm like, yes!
My man gets so excited over
cold. Oh, dude, you have no idea.
It's outrageous. We have no windows to answer your question.
Sorry about that. Best day of the year.
We need a balcony. Do the show from the balcony.
I love a balcony.
Yeah?
You deserve it. You deserve it. Hey, I'm not sure how to answer this question. I'll make a point, and I'll let you guys weigh in on it. But it's Mike Groh. I don't know what his contribution is to the weekly game plan.
Uh-huh.
Let me point something out. 2 years of Mike Groh, 2 years of lousy starts, at the beginning of the game, and we have to find our way with Carson's play. We used to come out with Frank Reich's plan. We dictated the defense. We didn't say, what they do, we take what they give us. We threw a plan down. We had a bunch of studs, and you couldn't stop us. We got as many studs now. And, the other thing I see is, I've never seen our quarterback doing so much check down. I know Dougie's calling in the plays, but Carson's calling at him at a super high rate. I'll make one more point, and I'll listen to you guys. Who called that naked bootleg rollout where Carson ran towards the end zone?
Okay,
I almost cried going, look at those guys closing out on his leg.
Yeah, a couple plays after being out of protocol, too.
Yeah.
Yeah. I first of all, a couple things. One, Doug calls the plays, right? I agree with you when it comes to the script. The script has not looked good, has not worked. That's Doug's baby. All right. Now, Groh is not Reich. Reich really helped with the script, and I think Doug needs help with that script. Now, again, I mean. You look at that's what it appears to be. I mean, how you attack it now against Atlanta, they go in looking to go 12 personnel, right? Then you lose one of your two important tight ends, and the whole thing goes out of whack. So you should have a plan B. I'm not making excuse, but I think that's why it looked even worse.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, listen, I feel the same way. I look at how you start games.
Well, he's right in a sense too, Ant, that 2 years ago, even 3 years ago, the script, the first quarter woes were not nearly what they were last year when they were 31st in the NFL with 41 points in the first half. Versus, and again, this year, they don't have a first quarter point this year through two games.
Okay, so here's the question. The question is it mitigating circumstances,
mm-hmm.
Washington being rust, Atlanta being losing your personnel.
Yeah. They play a part in it.
I mean, that's just right to ask.
Yeah.
I'm not saying that's the reason, but is it? I mean, what do we expect? Here's the other thing that we got to talk about. 2-2. It looks like it's going to be a 2-2 type of deal.
Mm-hmm.
And I said to Andrew before the season, what happens if they're 2-2? Is the sky falling?
It's not falling for me. I'm concerned, though. I'm concerned now, though, because of these injuries and because of these cornerbacks. A big concern could be checked, marked off for me. And go get Jalen Ramsey. And I'm not worried about the first round pick. I'm not. I'll give somebody tweeted me on Twitter. Let me put the question to you that was put to me on Twitter. And Jason tweets in. He says, "Would you trade a one and Sydney for Ramsey
in a second?
In
yes.
a heartbeat, yeah. I go one and a three and Sydney.
Yeah, in a second, I do that deal
because I don't know what Sydney Jones is.
All I know
other
is
than it, cheap.
Sydney Jones is not Jalen Ramsey, so I know that. So yeah, I would do that."
Yep.
I don't know that someday he comes in the all I know is Jalen Ramsey is a top three cornerback in the league. I'll take Jalen Ramsey.
Yep. And I know he might be a little bit of a pain in the rear end at time to time, but I got leadership in that locker room that can keep guys under control. Is it like New England? Would they keep it? No, probably not. But I don't think he's the disruption that guys like Randy Moss were prior to New England. Like Antonio Brown is in New England, that they can get under control. But I'm willing to, I go, this guy's got massive talent. I need this talent. It's a problem for my team. He wants to trade. I got to make it happen. That's what I'm saying. All right? Pretty simple.
You got it.
I want Ramsey.
All right, so here's the deal. Let's find out all about the Eagles' latest injuries. News by a guy that's does a great job covering this team. He's always in there poking. And he's poking around, and he's poking at Doug. He is from the Inquirer, Inquirer.com, on the Comcast Business Hotline, Jeff McClain. What do you say, Jeff?
Morning, guys. How are you?
Good, brother. All right, so we got lots for you, man, as you can well imagine. Let's start off because it's the sexy thing, Jalen Ramsey. Any way they would be interested in Jalen Ramsey?
I mean, I would be interested just in, you know, in light of the way the Eagles cornerbacks have played, what you look at there right now. You know, it's probably going to take a first rounder to get him. And I'm not really sure if that's something that Howie Roseman would be willing to part with. He wasn't willing to go there for Minka Fitzgerald. So that may tell you something. I don't know if, I don't know how you guys evaluate Minka versus Jalen in terms of worth. But, that is something to consider when you look at whether the Eagles would be in play for him.
Yeah, the difference, though, is that one is more of a safety hybrid, and the other one is a flat-out
lockdown
corner. And I need a lockdown corner, and I think that's a huge issue. The guys were – you saw the tape. Guys were running free, right? I mean, down the field, they're just running free. I thought Jim Schwartz did a great game plan. He's, look, We're going to do whatever we can. You know, we know that Ryan doesn't want to be blitzed. We're going to bring an array of blitzes, zone blitz, zero blitz. And I thought it was great. I think they need help back there.
Yeah, I mean, Jim blitzed about, I think, 12 of 46 drops, which is a little higher percentage than he normally does. And for the most part, it worked. It was just that last one that they got burned on. You know, I don't know if he's doing it because he looks at the defensive line and feels like they need help, or if that was just kind of a game thing. And Matt Ryan, you feel like you can exploit the fact that he really isn't very mobile back there, and they do a lot of play action. You also need the help to the secondary, as you mentioned. I felt like Ronald Darby was the main problem on Sunday. I don't think I'm the only person who felt that way. I thought Rasul and Sidney Jones fared better. And have looked okay so far. I don't know. I don't really understand the rotation right now. I'm just not a fan of it. And even Jim said last week that ideally you wouldn't have the rotation. I mean, if you're saying that you're rotating because you have to work Ronald Darby back in, then why is he playing more snaps than Rasul Douglas and Sidney Jones?
Yeah.
Especially when it's clear that he's not the Ronald Darby we saw, at least in terms of speed, before the injury. So again, yeah, cornerback, as I said, we spoke about weeks ago, would be my number one chief concern heading into the season, and while I think the defensive line certainly is up there, not in comparison. I mean, the Eagles have a lot of talent there, but because they place so much emphasis on what the defensive line needs to do, I feel like it's been an issue so far, and now you have two injuries to key spots at defensive tackle. So, I mean, yeah, how are you going to do it? And one way certainly would be to
roll the dice and deal and try and get Jalen Ramsey in here.
All right, so a question about Darby. So everything I know about him, he's better as a press corner. And when you're blitzing and you're bringing pressures, how come he's back? How come he's off the ball so much?
Right now, that's because right now he doesn't trust his speed. I mean, Jim doesn't tell his corners a lot, say, okay, you press here, you play off here. And he can't do that every single play. It's up to them
right
a lot of times. So that's on Ronald.
Have you talked to him about that?
Darby, no. I didn't get him after the game. I was focused on some other things. I think he did speak to a few reporters briefly, but we have no access. Actually, the locker room's open today, so we'll see if Ronald.
Yeah, I'd be curious. Just, if you don't mind, Jeff, I'm just curious about, you know, the depth off the ball with the corners. Because, you know, I mean, that's one of the issues. Like, when you're bringing pressures, you want to be, you know what's going to happen, man. That's why you need to play press.
Yeah. I'd rather have a guy there on you. Yeah, I mean, that's an issue. And that's, and again, I think it goes back to confidence. If you look at someone like Andrew Sendejo, why does he play so far back when he's in
he's afraid. He's afraid to get beat.
He's afraid to get beat because he lacks certain amount of speed to be able to cover ground.
No doubt. Hey, we're talking with Jeff McClain, Enquirer.com on the Comcast Business Hotline. Jeff, let's talk about the beginning of this game. And three players, Goddard didn't even get on the field. But then Alshon Jeffrey, I think, played six snaps, and Deshaun either 11 or 16 snaps. I can't remember which, but nonetheless, not available for this game in essence. How did this kind of happen? Was this lingering coming into the game? Kind of take me through a timeline here on when these guys became unavailable and what led to it.
Goddard was during the warm-up. Actually, I think Doug mentioned yesterday that he came in with something. So something must have happened during practice this week. Again, I haven't spoken to Goddard yet. And he must have aggravated because he was out there during warm-ups, but then he didn't play in the game, although he was suited up. It's probably just in case of emergency. So that seems like that was something that was lingering. Alshon, although he played six snaps, there was video, I think, that John Clark of NBC Sports had tweeted out where you could see Alshon talking to one of the members of the Eagles training staff during warm-ups and certainly concerned. It seemed like something was awry in terms of how he felt. So my guess is that something happened then. And then that's why you I'll try and go. And then after a certain period, he's just like, I can't do it. That's my assumption there. And then Deshaun, I think it seems like it was more likely that it happened during the course of a game, but we're still talking about, three early injuries. And unless Dallas did occur sometime back here at the NovaCare Complex.
Is there something with that turf that exacerbated these injuries? Because we saw some other guys go down in the game as well.
Yeah, I don't know.
Pointed to that?
I mean, I've had messengers ask me about the turf. I don't know. There were so many other people that didn't have issues. And, you know, the Falcons, I haven't heard anything about, I haven't heard anything from other teams about playing on that turf.
Yeah. Well, the roof was open, the roof was closed, you know.
I mean, maybe. There are a lot of factors that, you know, can play a role in why you have those types of injuries. I mean, I think I would look more towards just the Eagles' overall issues with soft tissue injuries over the last 2 years.
Yeah.
That would be more of what I would question. Why aren't, and again, Doug had kind of, and so did Howie, had kind of patted themselves in the back about training camp and how they haven't had as many soft tissue injuries as they had previously. And while that was true, it was a short period of time. And now all of a sudden they seem to have reared their ugly heads again.
Yeah. I mean, that's tough. You know, I mean, it's tough, Jeff, you know, this game, and that was a tough game. Guys were getting hitting, you know, that was a big part of it. So, I mean, here's the real issue too, going forward, is that you got the Lions, and then the short week with Green Bay. And when you're not, you know, when you're not at all, I mean, this offense is concerned without, you know, you take off your starting two receivers and it gets bleak.
Gets thin quick.
Well, we saw that in the first half. I mean, that was a major contributor to Carson Wentz and the offense's struggles. You saw, you know, miscommunications. You saw guys not, you know, one instance, J.J. Arcega Whiteside not looking back in time for a pass that, Carson thought would be a back shoulder. I'm sure he gave him a signal, and he probably missed it.
Yeah.
So you saw that early on, and that's, and then you just talk about the level of skill with Alshon and Deshaun versus those two other guys. So, yeah, that's an issue. And as you mentioned, we're talking about two games here in the next, you know, that's a five-day period. If Alshon and Deshaun can go for Sunday, it's very hard to believe that. I wouldn't say very hard, but you know, you assume that getting ready for a game and so many days rest will be just as hard as well. And then, do you want to like put them in a situation where they do injury and then you totally take them out for the next game? And then, so we'll see how it plays out here.
Anything with let's talk about Carson for a second. And did you? I mean, when he takes the shot, the rib shot. Man, that thing scares you because all along I kept thinking, because he played like he got the turtle shot in the second half, and then you wondered about, because I agree right. with you. You asked a question to Peterson during the press conference. You said, "Well, you talked about practice, and you asked about Carson, and he gave you the yeah." But I agree with you. Like, I'm trying to think. He took a blast. Is he all right to go back to practice? Like, is there any kind of lingering thing with him? Because that was a shot.
Right. And, you know, you saw him kind of grabbing his rib area as he came off the field on TV. And then he said after the game that he got the wind knocked out of him, which I'm sure certainly was the case. But was it anything more? And certainly there was speculation there. With ribs, I don't know what the protocol is in terms of what the team can reveal to us. If he misses practice on Wednesday, it's got to be for some reason. So they're going to have to say what it is, even if he's limited. I don't know how they can get around that without getting it out there that he has some sort of rib issue, which is why I was asking if he'd be able to practice Wednesday. Now, Carson was with the trainers for a period. I saw him walk into the training room at Mercedes-Benz Stadium after the game, which happens sometimes for small injuries, and it happens for more significant ones. So I don't want to say anything that is definitive. I don't know. But he admitted that he'll be sore, but they're all sore on Mondays. But if he's got cracked ribs, he can play through it. But it's going to affect him. But again, we don't know that for certain. And let's see what happens here over the next several days.
All right, Jeff. Last one. When you looked at this game, with expectations comes a lot of pressure. And after this game, you're in that locker room. I kind of get your first-hand perspective. It seemed like after the loss, there was a lot of maybe for lack of a better term, emotion. Coming out of guys like Zach Ertz, Carson Wentz, I mean, almost looked like he welled up. Did you get a sense there was a lot of emotion in that locker room after the game?
I didn't see Carson well.
You saw it on TV, out on the field.
I don't know. That probably was more pain than anything is my guess.
Yeah, I mean, I think
someone had said that Zach had welled up after the game or was coming. I didn't see that. My feeling in the locker room was, that was a hard-fought loss. It was a physical game. So I think that's typically what happens after losses. I think this team does believe it's good, so to lose any time, it's
going to hurt.
It's going to take something out of you.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. I don't know if I would go that far.
Okay.
The locker room was down, but I actually thought Carson was pretty, I'm going to say, chipper after the game.
Right.
But I thought
stoic.
He was pretty up. About the performance, and I think, and Doug the same thing. I think he feels good about this team. That's one thing I wrote myself, is that the one thing with Doug is that the team is always resilient. It's always been resilient. It's never stopped playing hard until the final whistle. You'd never see that, and that's why I look at this loss in the big picture of things. They're not going to win all 16 games. They're not going to win the remaining 14 games. All 14 remaining games. They're going to lose games. This is not a good loss. I'm not one of those,
right.
character wins. But that being said,
We saw 2 years ago that they went 1-1 and lost a tough one, and it felt similar to that. The locker room felt very similar to when they lost to the Chiefs 2 years ago on the road.
Yeah.
No, I can,
I'm not saying it's a Super Bowl winning team.
No, I
don't
totally
know.
See that.
I still have yet to see that.
I mean, they said what you want. You know, Carson, in that second half, played his heart out. Like, it was, you know what was amazing, too, Jeff? Hit that 4th and 4. Like, quite frankly, I give it to Doug because I would have taken the points and been one possession behind. I would have been down 8. And yeah. I give him credit, man, because he's got balls of steel. I take the field goal. Anyway, they score. He's got that. You know, Carson, it's like this relief. Then he comes back, orchestrates a second drive. And then if Aguilar holds on to that ball, which was a dime, it's a touchdown. They win, and Carson is Captain Clutch now.
I mean, again, I was the Carson Wentz deadline column writing guy, and it was tough to write that story when you guys send it at the buzzer. And I was kind of, you know, writing a certain, if they won type of story where it's like,
they've done that, brother.
Legend, yeah. And this is legendary. This is something they'll be talking about for ages to come because, as you said, he did strap them on his back. That was kind of an epic performance. That being said, I mean, yeah. He was pretty bad in the first half.
Yeah, he was. How much is the game plan? Because that script has not been good. Now, I don't, you know, again, when you lose, when you're going to go 12 heavy, 12 personnel heavy, and you lose your key component, that's going to screw up your game plan. But how much does Reich versus Groh and when it comes to Doug's game scripts? Because I know Reich helped out a lot with Doug's game
script. Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, again, I don't know if this is the best week to hammer on the slow start because of what happened. Their game plan just got blown up. But I still wrote about it myself, and I still asked Doug specifically about it because, again, it is an issue. It wasn't just because of that. I mean, this has been something that's been a trend since last season, the last 18 games. In 12 of those games, they haven't scored a point, and that's the worst in the NFL. Their total. Worst in the NFL, 41 points, 2.3 points per game per quarter over those 18 games. So there's something here, and I don't know what it is. I do feel like the scripts sometimes are just too they put Carson too much in a box, let's say, and you have to every time you go up there in the line, the quarterback needs to be able to check out of place.
Yeah.
And see, based upon what they see, the pre-snap reading of the defense. And sometimes maybe with those scripted plays, you don't have that luxury.
No,
and that's why they're not working. As for the Groh, I mean, Groh, yeah, that's a big part of his job is the game planning that they do. I mean, Doug can only do so much in terms of game planning because he's got all these other responsibilities.
Yeah, Andy was great at it, at the script. He loved the script. I mean, I remember Andy used to wait. I mean, couldn't wait to start on his game script.
Right. So, I mean, again, that is one common denominator. One difference when you look at how good they were starting in 2017 versus, you know, since then is that, you know, Mike Groh is the offensive coordinator and Frank Reich isn't. I don't want to. Doug ultimately bears responsibility. He's the play caller. He's the offensive coordinator in essence, and he's the head coach. So too does Mike Groh. So, I think it's a combination of things. They're trying to obviously figure out what, if there is some sort of, running, theme, as to why it's not happening. It's tough to figure it out.
Speaking of running themes, so we're talking to Jeff McClain, inquiry.com. I don't understand why Jordan Howard wasn't a big part of that script. And, you know, they went heavy with Miles Sanders, and I think if the matchup dictated to go the other route, to go Jordan Howard.
I've been surprised by the amount of usage with Sanders versus Howard. I thought they would ease him in a little more. Look, I mean, they really like him, and you could see why. And I didn't think they were going to bury him this first half of the season. I just felt like maybe by week 8, then you'd see this percentage of Sanders versus Howard. And it's been the opposite of that. I'm not a big Howard guy. I didn't like that trade. I think he's fine. You know, he is what he is on first and second down. He runs hard. He'll get you those types of yards. I didn't think he was a good schematic fit for them. And I just don't think that he's, when you look at that type of back, he isn't Jay Ajayi or LeGarrette Blount.
Yeah, I think you're right about that. I don't think he's perfect for their, what they want to run and what they want to do. However, against the Falcons, and I'll tell you about Miles Sanders. There's a couple things. Like, he was ISO. He had a safety. He was one-on-one. And, you know, a great back makes him miss. He didn't. He also, on that one run, it was right up the middle, and it was right by the goal line. That's a touchdown for most great backs. And he got caught, like, inside, just inside the two, when I thought he should have been in the end zone.
Yeah. No, I mean, those are all fair. I didn't think that, again, Miles Sanders played one season basically in college, which is a good thing in terms of the position
and pounding. Yeah.
Right. I just felt like that meant that he needed some time. He's got a lot to learn and how to run at this. It is a pretty easy position to come in and contribute right away. I get that we've seen that over the years at running back. But you still have a lot on your plate. When you're that young and you're that new to playing at this level, and I went to Pittsburgh and did a kind of like a, origin story on Miles, and then went to Penn State too and did a whole story there too on him. And one of the common themes with him was that when he first started playing at both levels, he had a tendency to run, use his athletic ability each time and run outside.
Yeah,
we've seen that already here at the NFL level.
Yeah.
Now, to be fair, he figured it out eventually at both levels and became what he became. So, let's give him time.
But I'm not telling you. I'm not making a sweeping judgment.
To get back to your original question, I still feel like I don't understand. And even just both games. I mean, I know you're talking specifically with the Falcons. I just thought we'd see a little more Jordan Howard, and maybe we will next week.
Yeah, well, that remains to be seen. Hey, Jeff, man, we appreciate it. We'll be reading you on theinquirer.com.
Thanks, brother.
All right, guys, I appreciate it. Thanks a lot.
Here is Jeff McLean, Comcast Business Hotline. Certainly a lot to digest there, Anthony. But again, you go back to the injuries again. And are these guys going to be available this week? Is Deshaun going to be available? Is Alshon going to be available? Is Goddard going to be available? Who else is going to show up with the injury report? You lost Malik Jackson the week prior. You lost Tim Jernigan last week. It's like, it's a mass unit.
Yeah, well, it could be worse.
It could.
It's Pittsburgh and
New Orleans.
It's New Orleans.
Yeah. There's a lot of teams out there with catastrophic injuries. I mean, talk about luck. I mean, Sam Darnold.
You know what the thing is, and we're going to go back to the phone, but you know what the thing is, and listen, I'm going to raise my hand as a guilty party. But you sit here, and we are in week two, and you look around the league, and you just see, that injuries just piling up.
Mm-hmm.
And you think, how in the world are they going to play 18 games?
Yeah, probably why they're not. They shouldn't.
How in the world can they play 18 games? Like, I as much as I dying to see it and more football, man, you just lose guys. Tons of guys. I mean, you're going to watch
2 weeks in.
Like, look at the Jets. You're going to sit there and you're going to have to watch. Now, again, he's mono, so it's different. But it just goes to show you that just the dearth of quarterbacks. You got to watch Trevor Siemian. He was horrid.
Yep.
And then he gets hurt. And you got to watch Luke Falk.
Now, coming up, there's a Monday night game between Pittsburgh and Miami. Just black that game out.
Coming
please.
Up, there's a Thursday night game between Tennessee and Jacksonville.
Oof.
You want to watch that game?
I'm out. Especially when Jalen Ramsey's an Eagle. Be no reason to watch. It's the Midday Show right here at 97.5 The Fanatic.
Gargano and Martinez Middays. The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.